Right now, let's go down to Miami, and joining me on the hotline, I have iHeartRadio morning show host Enrique Santos, who's been covering the situation in Cuba. Enrique, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us about this. And for those who aren't as familiar with what's been happening on the island, what can you tell us about this massive push for freedom that's been taking place there?
Yes, Ryan. First of all, thank you for taking the interest and everyone who's taken just a couple minutes to, you know, research a little bit, do a little, you know, soul searching here in history of the sad Cuban crisis. For more than 62 years since Fidel Castro came to power and lied to the Cuban people and has really, you know, just taken over, hijacked the country with this, with his, you know, Castro communism. 62 years of just basic things that all humans deserve, liberty. We can start there. Cubans have never been able to vote in a free and democratic Cuba. They're totally controlled by this dictatorship. 62 plus years of, you know, Cubans desperately, and you got to think about how desperate you got to be to jump into the water in the Florida Straits to try to reach freedom in the hopes of, you know, just putting your hands into God's hands and destiny, letting, you know, the waves take you and the breeze take you wherever they do. And so many countless numbers of brothers and sisters have died in the Florida Straits trying to reach freedom. They've suffered in, you know, Cuban jails. They've been beaten. The story is very, very long and tragic. And Cubans have had enough. I think that they felt emboldened the Sunday before last by, you know, this whole thing. We got to realize it started with a song called Patria y Vida by my friends Yo Tuel and Gente de Zona. That's become an anthem now. And Cubans started singing in the island, which the dictatorship prohibited Cubans from actually singing this song verbally, and people just started singing it louder. Saturday before last, a lot of artists, very interesting, Latino urban artists, which aren't even Cuban, a lot of them, and the majority of them Puerto Ricans, started sharing the hashtag SOS Cuba and joining solidarity with the Cuban people. And I think that next Sunday morning, the 11th of July, a lot of Cubans just woke up feeling empowered, feeling supported by so many different artists, and took to the streets for the first time in such historic numbers, yelling for freedom. The Cuban people are not asking for food. They're not asking for COVID vaccines like a lot of people are reporting. That's part of the problem. But primarily, Cubans are yelling at the top of their lungs that they want liberty.
Tell us about your personal story, your connection to Cuba, and also some of the stories that you've been hearing from your listeners who are either from there or who still have family on the island.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm personally tied to it because, you know, I was born in this awesome country, the United States of America, thanks to the fact that this country opened its arms to my grandparents and my parents. I defend the Constitution. I am grateful to be here. And I realize the fact that, and I've come to the realization and seen my grandparents now passing. Two of my four grandparents are dead. And they never were able to return to a free Cuba, which is what they dreamt of. My parents are getting older, and I have the dream to one day be able to return to a free Cuba and see my parents vote and decide who their leaders are. So that's my personal tie and story to it. In my, you know, talking to my audience, I'm just a vehicle right now. I feel comfortable, and I'm desperate because you feel impotent when you hear the stories, when you see the videos of the dictatorship, you know, beating people down, and you see bloodshed. Unfortunately, there's so many people that are now disappeared. Some people have been killed in this uprising, and you feel like you should be doing more because it's a genocide. It's taking place 90 miles from the coasts of our country. And if you were to think back of the genocide that, and you know, and the horrible events that our Jewish brothers and sisters went through, imagine the Holocaust happening now, so close to the United States. I'm not comparing but in any way or trying to diminish the pain and anguish and the horrible things that our Jewish brothers and sisters were put through. But this is something very similar in the sense that it's a genocide and it's happening in 2021. And we have the responsibility, the moral responsibility, to bring the international community together to shed light on these injustices.
I'm joined by Miami iHeartRadio morning show host Enrique Santos. We're talking about the situation in Cuba. One thing that's really stood out about all of this are the massive demonstrations that we've seen right here in the U.S. supporting the Cuban people, especially down where you're at in South Florida. What's behind those demonstrations? What's driving those people to put on those massive protests?
Well, they can't do it freely in Cuba. So a lot of Cubans around the world feel that they need to raise their voices for those that are being silenced and are being repressed and currently being sought after. And you can see the videos where there's intimidation that goes on. The Cuban military and police are actively, and I mean, they mob up on people. And one person screaming, you see the videos. I shared one this morning. It's like 8 or 10 cops and military police going after one guy. And it's not just to detain him and shut him up. It's to detain him, beat him up, shut him up. They're breaking bones. They've armed, police officers dressed as civilians with bats to go out and intimidate people and beat people up. They've surrounded the homes of certain social media influencers and artists and to not even allow them to leave their house and are threatening their families. We have reports and they're seeing videos. This is not made up, Ryan. It's disgusting to see it happen. Adolescent children torn out of the arms of their mothers, being forced into vehicles, taken to other, from reports that we're getting, being taken to other parts of the island. And they give them a bat and they're told to then, beat up other Cubans that are speaking up against the dictatorship. And I guess they take them to other provinces or other parts of the island so that they're not recognized, so that they feel a little less bad about hitting a fellow Cuban. So when you see this happening, and there's a saying that's being chanted constantly in all these demonstrations that we see around the United States and different places of the world. Si Cuba está en la calle, Miami también. Si Cuba está en la calle, Washington también. If Cuba's on the streets, Miami is also. If Cuba's on the streets, Washington is also. If Cuba's on the streets, the world is also. And I have my friends from Israel that have shared videos from Madrid and Spain, from Los Angeles, New York, people that love democracy, that believe in our democratic values as Americans. Myself, as a Cuban American, it is our duty, it is our responsibility to speak up for our Cuban brothers and sisters. And I thank all of our senators, Republicans and Democrats. Senator Marco Rubio has done an outstanding job on the Senate floor this week and last week as well, explaining the importance of what's going on, educating other senators, fellow senators, and other people, just Americans in the world about the atrocities of the Cuban dictatorship. And it's important to mention, Ryan, also, there's certain groups of people that want to use these communist talking points, blaming the United States of America and the embargo for the situation in Cuba. The embargo that the United States has in place is against the Cuban dictatorship regime. It is not against the Cuban people. As Senator Marco Rubio very well explained, Cuba has connections with and a bunch of allies and people that they do business with throughout the world, from China to Canada to Russia and Venezuela and so on and so forth. So it's absurd to say that the Cuban embargo is responsible for the firing squads. Cuban embargo is responsible. It's ridiculous and ludicrous to think that the Cuban embargo is responsible for the hotels that Cuba has, that they do business with other countries and that they go there and build their hotels, and that the normal Cuban citizen cannot visit a hotel. That's only for the tourists. They can work there. As a matter of fact, they don't get paid through the hotel that they're working for, because the money that the hotel generates to pay their Cuban employees that work on the island is paid to the Cuban dictatorship, and then they pay the Cubans that work at these hotels. The list is just long. It's ridiculous. It's beyond even communism. It's you got a bunch of mafioso drug dealers that have taken over this beautiful country. And it's ignorant to think, and I just invite everybody that, you think of Cuba and you think of a sexy place and you think of artists like Camila Cabello and you think of Desi Arnaz, and that we don't talk about all the ugly things that are behind Cuba and how, one of Fidel Castro's plans when he was still alive. He was a brilliant man. You can't deny that. So sad that he used that intelligence to divide, and that he's responsible for so much Cuban suffering of our families and separation. But so many other countries are tied and have been affected by this cancer that's in the Caribbean. Cuba. And that's linked to Venezuela, and that's linked to Nicaragua, and to guerrilla warfare, and to the drug trade as well. It's a very sad situation. We need to wake up. The international community needs to come together for the freedom of Cuba. It's our responsibility.
I'm joined right now by Miami iHeartRadio Morning Show host Enrique Santos, talking about the situation in Cuba. You recently posted a video to Instagram that was directed at President Biden. Everyone can see the video by following you, at Enrique Santos. What motivated you to do that, and what message were you trying to get across to him?
Well, you know, again, you hear all these communist talking points and anti-American talking points, and people repeating different stories and again, saying that, you know, Cuban people are fed up and they're hungry and they want vaccines, and that's why they're out in the streets of Cuba. And that's wrong. That's not the reason. Again, there's two of the many issues that Cuba has. But primarily, the issue stems that Cubans do not enjoy liberty. They can't speak freely. They can't travel freely. Everything is controlled by the dictatorship. So that's a start. Listening to the stories, not only of my grandparents, but of my parents, I feel like I have, again, a responsibility to my audience. And this is my time. As broadcasters, Ryan, I'm sure you can identify. There's certain moments in our careers that you say, wow, you know, wait a minute, put things on hold. What's really important? That's really what's happened. Yep. Now, the music on my show is an entertainment show. It's a variety show. And we're talking about, we do talk about politics, but primarily it's waking people up on my morning syndicated Spanish show. It's about, you know, uplifting spirits, bringing people together and telling our Latino story and our struggles as well. So that's why this is tied to it. But primarily my job is to wake people up and make people happy. At this time, it's also to wake up minds and create consciousness of people that are suffering. I feel like this is my calling at this moment, and because of that reason, that the entertainment part of my show is really on hold. It's on hold because this is a historic moment. Never have so many people in the island of Cuba said, you know, spoken out so publicly, and they're paying the price for it in more than 62 plus years that they've come out in full force, screaming for liberty and freedom. So my message to my open letter to our president, Joe Biden, is that he listen to the voices, that he hear the pain. I think that it's important. And I've offered to organize a group of ex-members of the Brigada 2506 that participated in, you know, the Bay of Pigs invasion, that can speak directly to the president, that he can hear the pain of these people that were there, that had their fellow countrymen, you know, die for the cause. I think that's important that he speak with ex-political prisoners, that he speak also with Las Damas de Blanco, who are a group of mothers and wives in Cuba who have for years dressed in white, and they simply go out and ask for the release of their political prisoners, husbands and sons and daughters, dressed in white, peacefully asking for this, and they are repressed. You see the videos, you can look them up. I'm not making this up, and I'm not exaggerating. They pull these women by the hair, they beat them up. It's disgusting what they've been through, and I think it's important that the president hear from these voices, that the president also hear from journalists, that he hear from experts on the topic in order to formulate the ideas that he is considering, and that he acts soon, because every second that goes by is another Cuban that's being shut up. It's another Cuban that's being beat up. It's another Cuban that's being jailed. It's another minor that's being taken from his home and being forced into military service. I had an interview with Juan Sebastian Gonzalez. He's a special assistant to President Biden. He guaranteed me that my open letter was going to be part of President Biden's brief on Cuba this morning, and I appreciate that. And Juan Sebastian Gonzalez tells me that the president is considering pressuring the dictatorship. He's considering sanctioning the dictatorship. Internet access, which has been cut off from the Cuban people, where I can't communicate right now freely, and the videos have slowed down because of the fact that the dictatorship cut internet service. So we're trying to find a way with the help of the private sector and the United States government with our technology to give Cubans on the island internet access, that we can have, you know, humanitarian aid be able to reach at Cubans, but it could actually reach Cubans in their hands and not funneled through the dictatorship that we'll do and has historically done, take advantage of it and help them. And then what's left, they try to sell it to whoever is willing to pay for it, which is disgusting. And then, of course, one of the issues, which is also controversial, but, you know, restoring services of the embassy, the United States embassy in Cuba, which those who have followed for the past couple of years, there's been reports, and we pulled our personnel out of the embassy in Cuba because there's been sonic attacks that's been being investigated by the United States government and other, you know, entities where, and again, if you haven't followed the story, people have reported hearing loss, hearing damage, nausea, and other medical ailments due to some type of sonic attack that's been pointed at our United States embassy in Cuba.
One final question for you. For those who are listening and maybe now they're more interested in what's going on the island of Cuba and they want to support the Cuban people in their fight for freedom, where would you suggest they go to learn more or get involved?
There's so many good documentaries on Cuba, right? And the struggles of Cuba. So I don't want to direct anybody in any particular place, but you got Amazon and you got Netflix. There's a lot of great, great stuff out there. You can follow the hashtag SOS Cuba and you can see in real time the videos that we are receiving of the oppression that's taking place. We can listen to our Cuban brothers and sisters. For those who work with a Cuban, listen to them. Cubans are going through a very difficult situation. Some of them have family members still on the island and they've not been able to communicate with them for the past couple of days. So, you know, a hug, a handshake, just letting them know that you care goes a long way. That empathy with our Cuban brothers and sisters or the Cuban American brothers and sisters at this very critical moment. Educate ourselves. And that's part of looking up, studying a little bit, take a half hour. You can learn a lot. The internet has, of course, a bunch of information for us that you can make your own opinion. And just by seeing the documents and the history of Cuba and the brutal dictatorship that exists there. Unite. We need to unite in one voice as well. This is not a political issue. This is a humanitarian issue. And then act. You can act by sharing the hashtag SOS Cuba. You can act by writing to your congressman. You love liberty. You appreciate the rights that we have and the freedoms that we have in our awesome country in the United States. And America has taken our thoughts and our ideals abroad when it's been necessary, and we've intervened in other countries. I'm not suggesting that the answer is, I'm not an expert in this field, and I'll leave that to the experts, whether or not military intervention is possible, or the president, Senator Bob Menendez already said that that's not something the United States is prepared to do at this moment for a bunch of different reasons. That's a different conversation to have. But what can be done? Well, let's make sure we're doing everything we can, because again, there's a genocide that's happening real time, 90 miles from the shores of our awesome country of the United States, where people are being imprisoned and being beaten and being intimidated, and they're being repressed and they're not allowed to speak freely, and people are disappearing. It's time that the world wake up and pay attention to Cuba, not just culturally, and our thank you everyone who appreciates our culture and our music and our artists and our food. But the people of Cuba don't get to enjoy all those things freely the way the members of the dictatorship and of the military and the police do. So again, thank you everyone who's sharing the message. Ryan, I thank you for taking this time also on your show and allowing me to speak to your audience. It means the world, not just to me, primarily to the Cuban people.
iHeartRadio show host Enrique Santos. You can follow him for the latest too. You can follow him on social media at Enrique Santos. And of course, you can listen to him on our iHeartRadio app. Enrique, thank you so much for the time and thank you so much for the leadership on this issue as well. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Ryan. It means the world to me that, again, that you've exposed this story. You've allowed me to come on to your radio program. And thank you again to all of your followers and all your listeners as well. Que viva Cuba Libre.